Hello, and thanks for joining us for our special Chicago Tonight coverage of the Democratic National Convention. I'm Brandis Friedman. Day three of the convention is in the books, and it included both the old guard and some fresh faces. Former President Bill Clinton and Speaker Emerita, former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, spoke to the crowd at the United Center, giving wholehearted support to Kamala Harris and aiming pointed barbs at Donald Trump. As did former South Bend Mayor and now Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg and the one and the only Oprah Winfrey. Of course, the evening's main event, Vice Presidential nominee Tim Walz taking the stage to address delegates and the nation, as you just heard. Our Amanda Venicky has been taking it all in from inside the United Center and joins us now.
Brandis, yes, Walz is off the stage. He gave what was a relatively short speech. He said he, believe it or not, hasn't done a whole lot of this, part of the folksiness. He's a guy that we heard earlier somebody say, you have political consultants pay a whole lot of money to get a character like that and bring out, you know, fake plaid shirts when he wears them for real. But I'm not sure the crowd really believed that this was something he wasn't accustomed to. They really ate it up. Walz was the headliner, but was he really? Because Democrats brought a whole lot of star power to the convention this evening. I saw Eva Longoria in the hallway, and our producer ran into Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You also had musical performances like from Stevie Wonder, comedian bits. Mindy Kaling was the MC. And as you mentioned, Brandis, we also heard from perhaps Chicago's most famous one-time resident, Oprah.
We are not so different from our neighbors. When a house is on fire, we don't ask about the homeowner's race or religion. We don't wonder who their partner is or how they voted. No, we just try to do the best we can to save them. And if the place happens to belong to a childless cat lady, well, we try to get that cat out too.
Now, yes, all of these folks are bona fide celebrities, but it was awesome. And I should add, by the way, that around here, you do have a lot of elected officials treated like they are Hollywood stars. But the night was not at all just about light entertainment. You had, for example, the parents with Chicago area roots telling the story of how their son, Hirsch Goldberg Poland, had his arm blown off when he was at a music festival in Israel before he was taken hostage. That was October 7th. Some 320 days ago.
We were both born and raised here, and our families still live here. This is a political convention. But needing our only son and all of the cherished hostages home is not a political issue.
You also had traditional political speeches like the one given by President Bill Clinton. He got some laughs when he said he just turned 78 and he is still younger than Trump. He, too, made the case for Harris.
What does her opponent do with his voice? He mostly talks about himself, right? So the next time you hear him, don't count the lies. Count the eyes.
Clinton says that Harris made a great first decision as president, and that is choosing Walz as her running mate. Now, really, this whole week is about the public getting to know Harris better, but it is also, and tonight especially, an introduction to Walz. We heard about his roles as teacher, as dad, as coach, National Guardsman, member of Congress, governor of Minnesota, and he talked a lot about, now, of course, he wants to add the title of vice president, that is. He talks a lot about what he has accomplished in Minnesota and what he wants to do in D.C.
And we made sure that every kid in our state gets breakfast and lunch every day. So while other states were banning books from their schools, we were banishing hunger from ours.
The former football coach also brought out a sports metaphor. He says with 78 days left until the election, his ticket may be behind a field goal, but he says they are on the offense. And that is very much the message that they hope delegates go home with. They want to motivate not just the people who are here, but their family and their friends. Back to you, Brandis.
All right, Amanda, thanks. We'll check back in with you again shortly. The Chicago Police Department has been bracing for the DNC for more than a year, work that ramped up after it became clear that protests focused on the Israel-Hamas war would test the department's ability to keep the peace and protect everyone's First Amendment rights. Today, Police Superintendent Larry Snelling saying his department not only passed that test, but proved CPD has entered a new era.
And we were able to take nearly 60 people into custody. Minimal injuries tells you that what's happening with the Chicago Police Department is transformative. This is a transformation of what you're seeing. Please report that. Let's get off of 1968. Let's stop talking about 1968. This is 2024.
Heather Sharone joins us now from outside the United Center with a look at today's aftermath from a violent confrontation between officers and a group that city officials said was determined to wreak havoc. Heather, tell us about the group that calls itself Beyond Enemy Lines.
Well, they said their goal was to shut down the DNC to make their point that the war in Gaza must end immediately. Now, they didn't come close to doing that, but city officials said that that was not something that was a First Amendment protected activity, that they planned to engage in violent confrontation with officers, and that CPD had a responsibility to step up and prevent that from happening. And Larry Snelling said today that is exactly what his officers did and that he could not be more proud of them.
Heather, what happened when members of the group refused a police order to leave the area around the Israeli consulate?
Well, that meant that Superintendent Snelling declared a mass arrest, implementing a new policy developed just for the Democratic National Convention that makes arrests a last resort and only in the case of a potential threat to life or property. Those conditions were met, and that is why 56 people were arrested. Now, not all of them were charged with crimes. Most were cited and released, but this was the first test of that policy, which drew major blowback from police reform groups who said that it could lead to violent confrontations like the ones we saw during the summer of 2020. But Larry Snelling said, nope, the policy worked. The officers followed their training and the rules, and all was calm.
Heather, was anyone injured during the confrontation?
Yes. As we heard the superintendent say, there were minimal injuries. Two people who were arrested had to be taken to the hospital, one suffering from knee pain, the other with a finger injury. There were also two officers that were injured, but they refused medical attention and stayed with their colleagues to quell the protests. However, that is a far cry from what we saw, as I said, during the summer of 2020. And it is something that we're going to be hearing a lot about from Superintendent Snelling, assuming that the rest of the convention continues without additional problems.
And Mayor Brandon Johnson was asked about the protest this afternoon at a panel that was hosted by CNN and Politico. Here's a bit of that.
Well, first of all, what I promised was a safe and vibrant convention, and that's just what we have. Protecting the First Amendment is fundamental to our democracy. And protest, we're not mayors of cities without protest. We're going to protect the fundamental right to have grievance.
And Heather, we heard from our own Joanna Hernandez earlier from another pro-Palestinian protest that took place earlier today. What happened when the crowd marched toward the United Center?
Well, it was still peaceful. Now, there were some tense moments as protesters wanted to move towards the CTAL station that just opened at Damon, but people were able to intervene and to keep things moving along. This was a very different protest, one that drew families from mosques all over the Chicagoland area that was, in fact, protected First Amendment expression. And as the police and Mayor Johnson have said, that sort of activity they will allow to go forward and ensure sure that it does, but not people interested in violent confrontations with Chicago police officers.
All right, Heather Cherone, thanks. We'll see you again in a few minutes for Spotlight Politics. Joining us now to share their thoughts about day three of the Democratic National Convention are former Congressman Luis Gutierrez, who represented Illinois' 4th District for 26 years, and Illinois House Republican leader Tony Macomby. Welcome back. Thanks to the two of you for joining us again.
Thank
so let's get your impressions of what you heard from Tim Walz tonight. Leader Macomby, I'm going to start with you. What sort of impression do you think he made?
Well, I think he loves football. I got that, you know, small town USA, right? I do want to say I was very glad to see the Pollin family there today and everybody to be very respectful and listen. And like I think they said how quiet it was. And that was very moving. And I was glad that that was a part of the convention. It was part of the RNC as well. Another family was there. So I really appreciated that respect that they were given. But he did mention a few things. He fired up the group, and it was glad to see him come out and to do that. I'm interested. He mentioned a few things about what Kamala was going to do in her package coming forward. You know, and I just you know about cutting taxes and.
Right, you had some questions about what you didn't hear.
Yeah, that's right. And affordable homes, and you know, just if you're going to be cutting taxes, that's great. But who's going to be paying for the cut? And if you're going to have affordable homes, how? You know, I think there was the words of $25,000 given for first-time home buyers. Well, nothing's free in this world. So who's paying for that? So there's just a better way sometimes. So I'm very curious to hear what that plan is. So we just got a little taste tonight. Yeah.
Luis Gutierrez, what did you think about, what was your impression? Did anything that stuck out to you with Tim Walz's speech tonight?
No.
What'd you think?
I thought he did his job. He did what was necessary. He's the vice presidential candidate. And the issues that he raised are core Democratic Party issues. What I do find lacking in the Democratic Party and in this Democratic convention is when are they going to talk about immigrants? When are they going to talk about the growing immigrant crisis in America? About the millions of immigrants that go to bed every night fearful that they're going to be separated from their children or their husbands or their wives? About this underclass that is exploited? When are we going to talk about that? You know what makes my job so hard in the Democratic Party? It's almost like immigrants, and Latinos in particular, were invisible to the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party has not yet realized 800,000 Latinos turn 18 every year. And those are all citizens of the United States.
And that's
and I don't hear them speaking to them. When are we going to speak about
voters
those
voters is what you're
yeah,
referring to. And of course, the problem of the issue of immigration
year.
Is certainly something that the Republican
yes.
Party has held Democrats, particularly Kamala Harris, responsible for. We're going to come back to the two of you in just a little bit with our Spotlight Politics team. Thank you so much. And for now, we're going to go back to the United Center, where Amanda Vinicky is standing by with Governor Pritzker's chief of staff, Ann Caprera. Amanda.
Yes, I am. Thanks so much for joining us. And I want to begin. Your boss, Governor Pritzker, was in the running to be a vice president, or at least the nominee for vice president, that is, not giving anybody a promotion just yet. What did you think of what you heard from who Vice President Harris did select as her running mate when you heard from Walz tonight?
I thought it was an amazing speech. I think a lot of what everybody will be talking about is seeing his kids crying when he was talking about them and his journey through IVF, which is just an amazing takeaway from that speech. There was a couple of really amazing lines that I think you'll see played over and over again. It was also a really conversational speech. It was something that seemed relatable. He was funny. He talked in language that everybody can kind of understand and hit the Republicans in a way that was effective without seeming mean or mean-spirited.
Now, I want to know your thoughts on is he's not evidently going to be going to Washington a third term for Governor Pritzker.
I'm not going to get ahead of the governor who said the other day that his, if you want to know about a third term, ask his wife, MK. But I do know that he loves his job sincerely. He's a cheerleader. He has loved this convention, bringing it to Chicago, showing off Illinois. And I think that he was excited to have an opportunity to stay here because he actually really does love his job. So we'll see what he decides for a third term.
Why was it so important to you, to him, to host the DNC?
Well, I think most importantly, we wanted to show off Chicago. I think Republicans use Chicago as a punching bag a lot, and we wanted to bring people here. We dialed up absolutely perfect weather for the week, but also to show them like our businesses, our restaurants, our cultural life, just how vibrant and amazing the city is and the state and all the work in progress that's been done here. And part of the governor's pitch to the president was that you literally could stand on the ceiling of the United Center, look out and see where items of the Biden agenda and now the Harris agenda have helped the state, everything from the CHIPS Act to infrastructure improvement, our roads and bridges and the work that we've been doing in tandem with the Biden-Harris administration.
And now you are on Chicago Magazine's list of the 50 most powerful women in the city. I'm curious, as the nation could be poised to have the first woman president, what sort of takeaways do you have of being a woman in leadership and how that might be an advantage or a hardship?
I worked on Hillary Clinton's super PAC in 2016, and watching her lose that year was one of the most difficult nights of my life. I will say, you know, it was difficult thinking about are we going to go through all this trauma again? But I think Kamala Harris has done a tremendous job of assuming the role of our nominee. She's really hitting the right messages. And I also think, frankly, it's hard to be the first. And I think you heard Hillary acknowledge that the other night, that, you know, maybe in the long course of history, she had to do what she did in order for Kamala Harris to become our first female president.
And we'll have to leave it there. Thank you so very much. Once again, that is Ann Caprera, Chief of Staff to Governor J.B. Pritzker. Thanks, Ann.
Thank you.
All right, Amanda, thank you. And thanks to Ann. After the break, we'll gather the whole team for a look back at tonight and ahead to tomorrow. Don't go away.
Chicago Tonight is made possible in part by the Alexandra and John Nichols family, the Jim and Kay Mabee family, the Polk Brothers Foundation, and the support of these donors.
Joining us once again is our Spotlight Politics team, Amanda Vinicky, Heather Sharone, and Nick Blumberg. And back in studio with our guests for the evening, former Congressman Luis Gutierrez and Illinois House Republican leader Tony McCombie. Thanks, everybody, for sticking around. Heather, let's start with you, please. GOP vice presidential nominee Ohio Senator J.D. Vance took aim at Chicago, as they do sometimes, calling it a war zone and the murder capital of the U.S. How did Mayor Brandon Johnson respond?
Well, he spoke this afternoon at an event hosted by CNN and Politico, and he deployed his trademark sense of humor, calling the Republican Party more useless than a room key card after you check out of a hotel. Chicago is not the murder capital. It is not a combat zone. But we heard Ann Caprera say that Republicans frequently use Chicago as a punching bag, and it's an indication that the new vice presidential nominee is singing from the same hymnal as the presidential nominee, Donald Trump.
All right. And Heather, police are investigating an incident that took place this morning at the Fairmont Hotel downtown. Tell us what happened.
Well, that hotel is playing host to a number of state delegations, including the Democratic delegation from Indiana. Apparently, two women are being sought who were seen sort of placing items that are believed to be bugs, either crickets or maggots, on the breakfast buffet and then fleeing. One person was treated and released, but officers are still trying to find out sort of who did this and why they did this. It's not clear whether it was a prank or it was some sort of attempt to sort of stage some sort of protest. We'll keep checking on it.
Okay. A little bit gross. Also, Nick, the Illinois delegation hosted a bevy of labor leaders this morning. What was their message?
Yeah, no bugs at the breakfast this morning, but labor leaders were very clear that working people's issues are the kinds of issues that Democrats ought to be running on. They say they're women's issues. We heard that the labor movement is going to move heaven and earth to try to get Kamala Harris and Tim Walz elected. They've echoed what we've heard all week, calling Donald Trump a scab, one of them saying he was the worst president within his lifetime, although he used much more colorful language than that. I also heard some expressions of surprise, folks saying they were taken aback by seeing teams Teamsters President Sean O'Brien at the RNC last month, disappointed in that because they say the GOP is not on the side of the union members, many, many of whom are Democratic voters in Illinois, but certainly by no means a monolith.
All right. So among the speakers tonight, Nick, you mentioned earlier that Pete Buttigieg made an appearance this morning. He had a primetime slot tonight. We know. What did we hear from him?
Well, he came out and he said, here's a sentence I never thought I would say. I'm Pete Buttigieg, and you may know me from Fox News, sort of winking at his role as kind of a Republican whisperer. He said he's willing to go anywhere to spread the Democratic Party's message, which he believes in. Clearly, some of his communication skills come from practice. He had a line tonight joking that J.D. Vance is, you know, just an awful vice presidential candidate. At least Mike Pence is nice. We heard that line at breakfast, but, you know, any good comedian works their material. But he says the politics that J.D. Vance and Donald Trump are offering are a politics of darkness, and that's not something Americans are looking for right now. He also shared some of his personal story, saying that his family, you know, his two young twins that he shares with his husband, is the kind of family that wouldn't be possible just 25 years ago. It was made possible through progress, and that's the kind of progress he thinks Kamala Harris and Tim Walz can bring should they be elected in November.
Okay, so Democrats, we know that they featured a number of disaffected Republicans at the DNC, including today former Lieutenant Governor of Georgia Jeff Duncan. Here's a little of what he had to say.
I'm going to focus my attention on the millions of Republicans and independents that are at home that are sick and tired of making excuses for Donald Trump. If Republicans are being intellectually honest with ourselves, our party is not civil or conservative. It's chaotic and crazy. And the only thing left to do is dump Trump.
Leader McCombie, I'm going to come to you on this one. How do you respond to the kind of criticism from Republicans, former Republicans, who feel that the GOP has lost its way under former President Trump?
Well, that whole last bit was really tough. You know, to say that Republicans don't like Chicago, Chicago is one of the premier cities of the world. And so to be lumped in with that, I think there are some Republicans that definitely have lost their way, and because they're not thinking about our core values. And this DNC, they talk about being, you know, Republicans are filled with hate and Trump's filled with hate and we're the polarizing one. But all we've heard is negativity out of this. This is supposed to be a pep rally, and pep rallies are fun. And this has really been kind of tough to listen to and not come back with reactive, you know, comments right back.
Yeah, earlier I saw you taking a lot of notes as we were listening to the speech, obviously, because you got a lot of thoughts on it. Luis Gutierrez, I'm going to get you in here as well, because we heard from former President Clinton tonight. You know, what do you think of continuing to invite him to speak? Do you think the party has sort of moved on from it once upon a time, of course, being the party of Clinton? Of course, his continued participation in a post-Me Too environment.
Well, I have kind of a soft place in my heart for Clinton. I started in the Congress of the United States with his presidency when Democrats voted to put 100,000 more policemen on the streets of our country. When Democrats were fighting crime and being very clear and vocal about it. Now, I also have to say that tonight, there was a lot of joy that I felt coming for women's rights, for gay rights, for environmental rights, for civil and voting rights. We saw that on display. That fills my heart with joy. I was a little saddened and taken aback because I think the governor of Maryland has such a great future. And he mentioned how the bridge collapsed in Baltimore. But you know what he failed to mention? The death of six people. Six immigrants to the United States of America, all of them from Latin America. Why isn't that spoken about and raised? Why is it the Democrats just fear? And so when I go knock on doors across this country and ask people to come out to vote, they say, when are they going to speak about me? When am I going to be visible to the Democratic
Party? Some concerns about what you haven't heard. Amanda, we've got 30 seconds. I know you met Illinois' youngest delegate today. Tell us a little bit about them and what got them interested in politics in a few seconds.
You know, Brandeis, I will do that in just one second, but I want to point out that Minnesota is so excited about Governor Walz running to be vice president that it's been about a half an hour at least since his speech ended, and the delegation is still chanting on the floor. But you are talking about 19-year-old Claire Sekowitz. I just butchered her last name. Apologies.
Sorry,
but
Claire.
She said that she's always been interested in politics from high school on. It was interesting because she said she remembers watching Obama in 2012 on her iPad, and it was amazing to see him live on stage as Illinois' youngest delegate, and this will be her first election voting.
Minnesota in a frenzy back there, it sounds like. Amanda, thank you so much. And thanks to our Spotlight team, Nick Blumberg, Heather Sharon, and our in-studio guest, Luis Gutierrez, and leader Tony McCombie. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
And that's our show tonight. Be sure to join us tomorrow at 5:30 and 10, or whenever the convention is over, for coverage of the final day of the DNC. Now, for all of us here at Chicago Tonight, I'm Brandeis Friedman. Have a good night.
Closed captioning is made possible by Robert A. Clifford and Clifford Law Offices, a Chicago personal injury and wrongful death firm that is proud to recognize its founder and senior partner, Robert Clifford, who ranked number one in the state of Illinois by Super Lawyers Top 10 2024 Illinois Super Lawyers List.